Hi, everybody. Will Alexander here. This week on the interview chair, we have Sydney Marks. So sit back and relax. Listen to Sid for a while. It's been a while since I've seen him, so enjoy yourself. Hi, everybody. I'd like to welcome Mr. Sid Marks, a.k.a. Judge and Irish Setter enthusiast and all kinds of other breeds. How are you, Sid?
I'm fine, thank you. How about you, Will?
I'm good. You've had Welsh Springers. What else have you had, Sid?
I've had a lot of Beagles, Welsh Springers. The family started out with Samoyeds and then German Shepherds, but...
Okay. Well, that goes right into my first question. First of all, how are things going?
We're doing well, thank you.
Staying safe and everybody's... Where exactly are you, Sid?
We live in Mesa, Arizona now.
Okay. Weather is good?
Weather's great. Yeah. But not so much in the next couple of months. It'll start getting pretty bad, but the winters are gorgeous.
Yeah. It stays pretty dry, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Tell me, how did you first get involved in the sport of dogs, Sid?
Well, the family always had dogs, and when I went out on my own, I got my first Irish Setter, and I was out walking her one day, and it's kind of a weird story.
How old were you? Old man,
20. Okay. This old man comes up to me, and he just starts running his hands all over my dog, and I'm looking at him like he's crazy. Turns out his name was Jim Wright. He was an AKC judge and Labrador breeder. He says, "This is a very nice Irish Setter. You should show her." I said, "What the heck do you mean?" And he told me about it. We entered her in her first match show. She took a blue ribbon and I was hooked.
where were you when this happened?
On Long Island.
So when did you approach the AKC shows? Then you went to a match, but when did you start?
Oh, shortly after that, probably a couple of months or so after that, I entered her in her first show. Quickly found out that I loved her to pieces, but she wasn't the greatest specimen in the world. And then, as happens with most people, you start getting a better one and better one, and you just start going.
Where did you start from? Tell me how you started in your Irish Setters.
I guess the first well-bred came from West Wing Kennels. That was Luz Holvenstadt, who lived out on New Jersey.
Now, what year would that have been, Sid? I know you said you were 20, but...
73,
okay.
And I started breeding her and just went on from there.
Who were the Irish Setter people in your life that guided you? Who did you lean on?
Well, George and Barbara Brody, Joyce Nielsen and Charles Oldham. And then when I started handling, Laddie Carswell was a big mentor of mine. From George Alston, I learned how to compete.
Yeah.
But Joyce and Laddie Carswell, Mary Ann Cook, they kind of taught me why a dog had to be built the way it has to be built in order to function. And then watching Ann Savory Bolus, Bob and Jane Forsyth and Bill Traynor, they kind of showed me how to win or lose with class and be a professional.
Yeah, well, they're all three. They were all good.
Yeah.
Ann Savory used to come up to Canada when I was a kid. She used to come up, actually, her and Bill Pace would come up together and show dogs. And I got to know Ann really well. One of the top Irish Setters in Canada for that time, you're talking 70s, was a dog named Dunholm Finn McCool that Ann
bred. That would be her breeding, yes.
Yeah, Brian Taylor, her and John bred that dog, and Brian Taylor showed the dog and was top sporting dog for at least 3 years in a row, I'm sure. So.
Well, for some reason, I couldn't make it to the second Irish Setter National, and Ann showed my bitch for me and took best of opposite at the National there.
All right. Yeah. Ann was a good handler. She was a good handler.
Great.
Did you end up working for anybody? Did you apprentice or did you just mentor by accident with them?
No, I became an assistant handler. At that time, they had assistant handlers to Mary Ann Cook, who had a pointer Labrador kennel out on Long Island. I worked with her for a couple of years, learned how to show a sporting dog. Went out on my own probably 2 years or so after that. And then I would travel a lot with Laddie Carswell to shows.
That was a smart choice.
Yeah.
What did you learn from Laddie? Or what didn't you learn from Laddie?
Well, besides his very dry humor, he taught me a lot about grooming. He taught me about presenting a dog and the difference between showing yourself and showing the dog. Laddie believes you should just stay the heck out of the way and the judge should not be bothered by you and just see the dog. He had some great grooming, grooming techniques, one of which I would never use. He used to wick a dog with a lit candle to get that smooth coat. I was always afraid to do that. But it was always great traveling with Laddie.
I know a few handlers that candled dogs like that. Garrett Lambert did. He did a Gordon Setter. And I'm telling you, he was so good at it. He didn't even know. It was just, and then he would just lift it up and singe it off and lift it up and singe it off.
Yeah, when it's
one time, but I never tried it myself.
When it's done well and you run your hand down the dog, it's like glass.
Yeah. He was fun to watch. And he worked for Bill Trainer, so I'm sure that's who he learned from.
Yeah.
So how long did you show dogs for professionally then, Sid?
Oh, probably three and a half, 4 years.
What did you do after that then?
Len Brumby came up to me. Len was AKC vice president at the time and said, I want you to judge, start with the three setters. At that time, Irish Red and Whites weren't here, and Beagles, because I had Beagles then. When Len said, I wanted you to do that, you kind of did it.
So
that's how I started judging. That was around 74.
Wow, that's a lot. And how old were you when you first started judging?
24, 25.
Wow, that's amazing. And you've been judging. And what do you have now for, you have the sport?
I have three groups, plus Bouviers, Samoyeds, and Dobermans.
What groups do you have, Sid?
Sporting, Hound, and Terrier.
I didn't know about Terriers. Okay, good. Wow. I wasn't aware of that. How about that?
I always loved Terriers because when I lived on Long Island, I would go to Westminster every year, run down to the ring where the Wire Fox Terriers were, because I thought that's where the class of the show was, both in dogs and handlers. And Peter Green always told me, you got to judge Terriers. And I was concerned that I wouldn't know enough about coat, but he kind of egged me on, and then I felt more comfortable.
Well, that brings me to the next question. Who do you consider your mentors in this sport then?
Probably Laddie, Joyce Nielsen in Irish Setters, the Brodies in Irish Setters. I had a lot of good mentors. I was very fortunate. To give you an idea of who mentored me, Bill Trainer, at the end of one show, Best in Show was over, and I was walking back to the setup with my dog, and Bill's got a dog up on the table grooming it, and I said, what are you doing? The show's over. He says, that's right, but there's another one tomorrow. And, you know, it really showed what a professional was like.
Yeah, he was an incredible guy. I didn't know him well, but I met him a few times. He showed for a very famous woman up here in Canada, Ann Snelling. So we got to know him. He would show up at the bigger shows. Yeah. Who else did you have as your mentors? As you must have had some judging mentors as well.
Well, at the time, when I started that, Ann Savory at the time was an AKC rep, and we would sit and talk. And I would watch judges. I would watch Houston Clark. I would watch Eugene Blake. I would watch people like that and just get my own act together from doing that.
I just interviewed Gene not too long ago, and he brought you up a couple times. So,
oh, I hope it was good.
It was good. It was definitely good. So you moved along. You started off with sporting dogs. Tell me about your beagles.
I had beagles from Marcia Foy and Anna Catherine Nicholas, and bred a couple of litters with them. And I always kind of had a beagle around me. They were always on the fringe of my sporting dogs. And we did pretty well. I then got a little bit of breeding from Joyce Nielsen. She also had beagles at the time. She had the one shown by, I think there were sisters that lived in New York City. I can't remember their name, but they bred some very nice beagles. So I was very fortunate with them. I had some good ones. And the one I have now, I got from Connie Conger. So I've always had good people behind me on beagles.
Yeah, it seems beagles and Irish setters, they do go together for some reason.
Yeah. Well, the Irish are so easygoing. I know everybody thinks they're crazy, but I don't think that's true at all. And the beagle being a pack dog just likes to cuddle up to them, and the Irish just say, fine, do that.
Yeah, I know my dogs here, I don't have an Irish setter right at the moment, but the two beagles and the Bouvier, they get along famously.
Yeah.
Have you had any funny instances in the ring?
Yeah, this one also involved Laddie. I was showing a Basenji at the time, and he was a pretty good one, but he just wouldn't keep his tail up. He wouldn't keep that curl. So Laddie gives me this stick of, like a cinnamon. And he says, lick this and then rub it on their butt and he'll put that tail right up. It's kind of what they do with show horses.
Yeah.
So I went in the ring with the Basenji and I licked it and I rubbed it on him. His tail went up and I won the open class. Went back in for winners and that tail started dropping. So I took it out of my pocket, started licking it and then realized what I was doing. I turned around and Laddie's outside the ring, doubled up in laughter, and he says, you have to have two sticks.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess it works sort of like tail said. That's a good idea. I didn't realize the cinnamon stick, but it's just enough to irritate enough to keep the tail up. So, you know, all the dogs you've watched over the years, are there some that stick out in your mind or judged? Let's start off with some you've judged over the years.
In Irish, I was a real big fan of Thendaran William Muldoon. I really liked that dog. I was a big fan of the Sussex, Stump.
Oh, yeah, Stumpy.
I thought that dog had the most remarkable set of shoulders of any dog I've ever touched. So I was a big fan of his. I got a kick out of watching Sonny Shea show her Afghans. Peter Green's Spot On, I like that. And Bob Forsyth showed some whippets that I really thought were beautiful.
Is there any dogs you wish you could have been a part of? Irish setters, beagles? Or?
Well, yeah. In the United States, champion Seaforth Dark Rex. Matter of fact, I have his painting hanging up on my wall here, and William Muldoon. And then in Australia, I saw a picture of these two dogs on the internet, and they turned out to be Leanne and Trevor Jones, Gwendara Kennels, and they were Monty and Clipper. And I just thought those dogs were just gorgeous. One was Gwendara's Montpelier, and the other one was Gwendara Total Eclipse. And it led to a great friendship with the Trevor and Leanne. And many years later, I got to go over to Australia, my first judging assignment there. And I saw Clipper as an old dog, and I just loved that dog.
Yeah. What about beagles?
Well, Marcia had so many good ones.
Yeah.
But the one that you had recently, you had one that I saw out in Palm Springs that I really liked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was that you? That was a 13?
No, 15. That's my own.
Is that 15?
Yeah, he's here still. Dogs that are still being shown.
Yeah, I really like that dog too. And but Marcia had a bunch of them. Trippy, Triple Threat, that was a big winner, and I thought he was gorgeous. And the bitch I had was a daughter of his.
Oh, wow. And did you breed some beagles in as well yourself?
Litter? Yeah, I did. I bred probably 2 litters of beagles.
What advice you went through the judging process? What advice would you give for aspiring judges?
Probably don't be in such a rush. Mm-hmm. One of the worst things AKC did is when they opened it up and you could apply for 20, 30 breeds at a time, and people did. And it didn't give them a chance not only to not learn the nuances of the breed, but I don't think they appreciated the breed. And I think you need to take your time. Everybody doesn't have to be an all-rounder. There's certainly a spot for specialists and for just one group judge or two or three breed judge or even just a breeder judge. There's a spot for all of those people.
There's no question. I was always under, I worked for a few handlers, one being Bobby Stebbins, and he always told me that he didn't feel there was really any, I don't know if it's true, but he found it hard to believe that someone could know the breeds well enough to be an all breed judge, all the breeds. He said there's so much to learn about all these breeds. He said there's ones that obviously do it, and they got such an eye that they obviously are strong in it. But he said to be an expert in all the breeds, he found that was difficult to be. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. I think in general, they can find a good dog, and in general, they know the breed standards, but the slight nuances that make the big difference, I don't know that everybody can know all of the breeds.
Well, that's true, yeah. So you've been judging now for how long?
A long time. Sometimes I even get it right.
I guess it depends who you ask, right?
Yeah.
What goals do you still have? You've been judging for so long.
Well, there's probably one or two shows that I would still like to judge, but other than that, I really feel I've accomplished most of what I want. So all I concentrate on is trying to give every dog in front of me the best shot I can give them.
And what about as you were wore two hats, you were a handler as well. What about advice for young handlers?
Probably enjoy the journey. Everybody wants to get to be number one and be a big winner and all, but it doesn't happen for everyone. And just remember the dog you're showing, she's given you everything she has. So just kind of enjoy the journey, love the dog, appreciate the competition, and then if it comes, it comes. We can't all have number one dogs, but we can all take home the number one dog.
Sure, yeah. What about superstitions? Does Sid Marks have any superstitions?
You name them, I got them.
I'm asking you. What is your number one superstition then?
Probably walking under ladders or black cats. I wouldn't put myself in a position where I had to do that.
And it would bother you that much?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But anybody that knows me, even a little bit, also know I'm just scared to death of snakes.
Oh, really?
I mean, if I saw a big worm at the end of the ring, I'd be in the next ring.
And where do you live now?
Arizona, and we have a few.
When I was at the Beagle National there, we saw a bunch of snakes. I kept taking pictures and sending them home because my mom is a big fan of snakes. What do you think of the current judging process? We talked about your advice, but what do you think of it? What do you think of it, of how they it works now?
I think it's getting better. They started slowing it down. It's difficult because of the size of the country. Not everybody can afford to go to every national and do all of that. The way they do it in some other countries, like in Australia, they may have once or twice a year where you get together and you're mentored and you learn your judging, but it would be too hard here. I think AKC is doing the best it can to provide the education. And then I really think You learn to judge by judging.
Yeah, hands on. I agree. we're talking about a system up here. We have our system is similar to yours, but now Dr. Michael Woods has talked about maybe bringing in the interview section of it all and bringing making it a little more personal, because I think we do miss some really good dog people that don't have a chance to ascend the way they want to because they're not good at taking tests.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So I that's how I feel about it. I think the personal level is lacking at sometimes. I think they forget that they're actually people that have done their whole life, have given 50 years to this sport. And just because they can't write a test doesn't mean they can't pick the best dog, you know.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah.
What about during this crazy COVID time? Is there skills that you have that we wouldn't know about?
Well, some people do know. I do a lot of writing. In addition to some of the articles I've written for Dog News, I've also written a novel and a couple of short stories.
Excellent.
Yeah. During this time, though, basically, I've just tried to keep Shelley and I safe, and I have watched every webinar that the AKC has offered, and I think Tim Thomas and Ashley Jaycott and the judges department has done a great job by putting those on.
They sure have, and it's kept everybody informed and educated. It's been a big help to a lot of people that don't want to get out. They don't want to leave, so it's been great for them.
Well, you know, even if I don't judge that group or that breed, there's nothing bad about learning more, and I'm liable to see it in the best in show ring, so exactly. I want to know.
I think you're always a student of this sport, and it doesn't matter what topic, you know, you need to know these things if you want to improve. And it's a shame to watch some people, they'll show their dogs and they'll just go home, you know, after the breed instead of staying around and watching what's going on. So how do you compare, since you've been judging, I keep going on how long you've been judging, Sid, sorry. How do today's dogs compare to yesteryear's dogs? And I'm sure there's pros and cons.
I think it depends on the breeds. I think some breeds have improved. Some breeds look like they've improved, but when you get down to it and you watch them move, that's probably not so. To be honest, I think the majority of handlers today are better than the handlers of yesterday, if you take out the top handlers that were there. They know how to present the dogs on a stack. They look great. And then when they move, the truth comes out.
Well, it's actually a natural evolution that usually generations improve by generations. And it's because of latter years that they have all gotten so good, really. If you think about it, I remember one time we were at, I think it was Rick Shastudian's memorial at Montgomery, and I forget who was speaking, but he said that if you looked at a pedigree of all the handlers, that if you went back a few generations, that there would be Rick in everybody's pedigree. And that makes perfect sense when you think about it, right? Because we all grew up watching all these handlers, and they all had some input with everybody. So.
Yeah, I think that's true. And if you look at the pictures of the old dogs, I'm kind of a get off my lawn old guy.
Yeah, I like that.
And the older they were, the better they were. And if you actually look at the pictures, you see it's not true.
Yeah. You remember them differently, like in your mind's eye. Like I have a lot of dogs that I hold in high esteem. And when you look back at them, you think, I don't know. But for their time, they definitely were.
That's right.
So who would you think, you talked about Laddie, you talked about other mentors, who do you think had the biggest impact on you in this sport? If you could do that, you could name one person.
If I were going to name one person, it might be George Nielsen. Mm-hmm. She was not the easiest person for most people to get to know. But once she decided she wanted you to know her, she had a wealth of knowledge, and I really could learn a lot from her.
What did she, I never met Joyce. So give me some insight on her.
Well, she appeared to be short and brusque to most people, but not if you really knew her. She could look at an Irish Setter and go from the tip of its nose to the tip of its tail, tell you what's good, what's bad. And then her biggest point was one thing I try to keep in my mind, look at the whole dog. It's easy to say, boy, that number one dog kicks his left rear leg a little bit. Yeah, well, what about everything else about the dog? And I think that was a big thing I got from her.
Well, that's a great advice, because some people you watch, some judges or not some judges, even it, people watching, they just pick on certain things. They don't look at the whole dog. In my seminars, I talk about that, where I would explain to them that I would be showing dogs for so long, and a certain dog would consistently beat me, and I may not be a fan of it, but I was taught to sit back and keep put things in perspective and look at that dog for what he really was, instead of just, right, oh, look who's showing it, look who owns it, look where it's being shown. There's all kinds of different factors. I think it's Mr. Eldridge's fault that I look at dogs that way. There's no question. He always tried to teach me to be positive about things. Virtues, virtues, virtues. Did you have any dealings with Travelda?
I did. I knew Ted a little bit, not a lot. Most of the Travelda thing, my attachment was with Ed Troidle and his wife in New Jersey. They had a lot of Travelda. Marianne Ross had a lot of stuff that came from Travelda's breeding. And I knew Ted, but we weren't really close, but he was certainly an icon in our breed.
Well, there's no question. There's so many icons in our breed that I wish they were all back to see some of the dogs. Now, I think we'd have a different look of certain dogs if these people were still around.
Correct.
We don't have those people to yay or nay them sometimes.
Right.
So I asked you, what's next? You said you've reached all your goals. What's next for Sid? There must be something.
Well, I think it's time that I get my wife out and get her to start judging some.
Oh, really? Excellent.
Well, I may stay home a little bit more. Yeah, she judges, I don't know, 13 sporting breeds or so. And probably time for me to sit back a little and let her get going.
Would you be able to do that? Would you be able to take the back seat?
Sure.
Yeah. Now, is Irish Setter her favorite breed as well?
Actually, she started with flat-coated retrievers.
Okay.
She had some really good ones, that was her primary breed.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Okay. Well, I have one last question for you, Sid. If you could meet the 20-year-old Sid, what advice would you give him now?
You know, I really thought a lot about that type of thing. And remember I used the words, enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
I think that would have been it. Sometimes your competitive juices get flowing so much that you forget that these dogs are not machines. They're not perfect. The judges aren't perfect. You just enjoy it and do the best you can. And if you really get to the point where you just think everybody's a crook and nothing's right, get the hell out.
Oh, exactly. There's no sense doing that, right? That's no fun at all.
Yeah.
So gotta stay positive. Keep things in perspective and be realistic about things.
I think that one story I'll tell you that I think is great. As I said, my wife had this great flat coat, won the national specialty, won best in show, etc. He won the breed at a big show. Then he's in the group ring being judged. And you know how all the judges sit around the group ring? Well, she's showing the dog, and as she gets up to one of the judge leaned over the ring and asked her, he says, I'm not real familiar with this breed. Tell me something about it. And she says, well, he's good here, here, and here. I would change a little of this. I would change a little of that. Well, she wins the group, and guess who's doing best in show? That judge.
And how'd she do?
She did win.
He probably still learned from her, though.
Well, I think so.
Well, thanks, Sid. I appreciate your time, and I'll let you get back to sunny Arizona, and I'm sure I'll see you somewhere down the road.
I look forward to it, Will. And you and yours take care of yourself, will you?
Thanks, Sid. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, Sid. It was good to catch up. If you like what we're doing here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button. And if you want to get a hold of me, get a hold of me at dogshowtips@gmail.com. Or if you just want to find out what's happening in Will's world, go to willalexander.net. And don't forget about our podcast. You can find this on podcasts at Dog Show Tips on Spotify, Apple, and Stitcher. But we also have the new one, The Dog Show Drive with Wayne Cavanaugh and Will Alexander. You can find that on Spotify, Apple, and Stitcher as well. Next week, guys.